as I can recall, civil rights to me began when I was born. This is Dr. King just happened to have been a Catholic. And my brother, who is retired now from the State Department, and his wife, who also is retired from teaching, and their daughter, who presently has her own school, primarily for blacks, who did not get what they should have gotten in schools, and to teach them the self-esteem and the fact that it's all right, it's perfectly all right to be black. She says she's doing a great job too. He was the one that devised the selective bargaining, buying policy, my brother and others. At that time, he was bursar, or dispenser of funds at my alma mater, Miles College. And they sat, and they found out that you couldn't hurt white people but one way, and that was in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And so we stood at stores, and we admonished blacks not to shop at the store because they could not work there, they could not drink water there, they could not eat on the mezzanine, they could not try clothes on. Well, they were not given the same gratuities that were given to other people. And we were people. And if they did not relent, then we wouldn't shop there. And so the lawmen and the posets and the other stores, as well as the eateries, were done that way. And it got so to a point where there were some blacks who felt as though they had arrived and they didn't have to participate in the civil rights movement. We actually took their packages and would throw their things in the street to show them that they really were a part of the civil rights movement, that the only reason they were treated like that, and they were not given the same treatment, but psychologically they just didn't think, because they were financially stable, quote, that they had to do what we did. And we had to make them aware of that. So, you know, we would venture downtown. It was all organized. Who would be where? And we would say, please don't shop at the store, because they refused to recognize us as human beings. They refused to give us jobs. They refused to do this. And we wish you would not. And many blacks would not shop there, but many blacks would, and go out to other entrances and things like that. We have people that are waiting on them. We go into Cress's, McDonald's, and other type eateries that they had at Burger King. They probably weren't named that then. But the idea was the same. It was the hamburger, the coffee, and stuff. And they would say, we don't serve colors. Our niggas don't eat here. And we would say, we didn't ask for a nigga, and we didn't ask for a color. We want a hamburger. The way you wore them down is when you looked out that door, you didn't see 25 blacks. You saw 125. And every black went to that counter and say, I like a hamburger, order fries, and a Coke, please. And they would tell them, the minute they would refuse to serve them, another black would pop up. And so after a while, with the arrests and with the white support that was done silently, getting us out of jail, making sure we'd be there the next day to do it again anyway, it wore some of them down. And they began to serve us in paper plates, styrofoam cups, and we refused it. We would say, we want to eat out of the same plates, and use the same utensils, etc., that everyone else eats with. So they did, but they would break them, and we were back in their pockets again. When we found out they would break the dishes that we ate out of, instead of 125 eating that day, 258, that's 250 plates. 250 saucers, 250 cups they would have to break. And I guess they realized that soap and water, which blacks were washing anyway in the back, the blacks who worked in the places were watching us demonstrate. And these same blacks were serving whites in the same places. And many of them were laughing and saying how stupid we were, because to them, conditions were fine. So you were fighting, you know, two different type of attitudes. They couldn't show deep down they disapproved. But in order to hold their jobs, they had to listen to the vulgar jokes and the name calling and the degradation and the derogatory remarks. And it just went on like that, and it went on like that, and it went on like that. And eventually, Henry, Harry Belafonte, Ray Charles, Lou Rawls, Nancy Wilson, Nina Horn, and others who knew that the system would not survive came to Birmingham. And they were astonished that Eugene Bull Connor, Eugene Bull Connor was called Eugene Bull Connor because he had been responsible for the death of a lot of lives, beaten to death, taken out on railroad tracks and thrown on. You cannot imagine the power of white people during that time. Blacks would just disappear. And their families would worry about them. But we all knew what had happened. You know, you wouldn't have to go to Mississippi and the blacks and whites who were castrated and beaten and thrown in the river and stuff like that. There were far more cases than that before the Civil Rights Movement to give emphasis to the fact that white people beat and killed and maimed and amputated parts of black folks' bodies in order to get them to submit to the fact that they really weren't human. And there were lots of people who felt blacks weren't human. And so if I cut off your finger, you didn't feel it, you know. And if I blind you in an eye, you don't need but one to do the work I want you to do. And I know this sounds like something out of Steven Spielberg, but this actually happened in the South and in many areas of America.
Were lynchings common?
Of course lynchings were common. Not during my particular time. I was born October 16th, 1941. And I guess that was like glory time, because I went to one of the best high schools we could have gone to. And we had very articulate, well-educated, for the time, teachers. They probably be very ignorant now for what's being taught today. But they were far more dedicated. I think one of the worst things that ever happened in America was segregation, was integration of schools. Black people are not afraid of black students. White people are afraid of black students. They are afraid that if they discipline a black student the way he or she should be, in order to get them to learn, they will be labeled a racist. And I don't know if that's that cop out, if they use that to not teach. So now we have a nation of youth, black and white, who aren't capable of doing anything academically well, simply because when you have a lot of discipline to do, then you can't teach the participles, gerunds, and infinitives, the narrative, expository writing. You are more interested in keeping the class quiet, to keeping blacks and whites from verbalizing their disapproval of each other. So this is what integration did to the school system.
How do you feel about like the lack of black history in your common high school? In the history books, you really don't know.
Yeah, but history. Now it's so much better. You're asking me about maybe when you and others were in my class, and I had my own black history program, so. You have to persist. You have to persist. You must have a mission. you must know that something is right, and that nothing deters you from doing what you have to do. What I did is what Mary McLeod Bethune did, what Dr. King did, what Susan B. Anthony and whites who ventured out from the norm and said, you know, this is just wrong. Like Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt, who is one of my favorite mentors. Mrs. Roosevelt knew of the degradation, and she knew by watching and experiencing the harrowing and painful experience it was to be black in America. She knew it. And she constantly admonished her husband through her association with educated blacks that she knew, and through other things, to try to lift the pressures. What we get now is a residue of suppressed blacks. A lot of people don't understand the violence. It is quite understandable to me.
Well, how do you feel about the conditions of the teenagers who come up to today? So many of them are just in gangs and killing each other and just...
Well, if you can't find anybody else to kill, who do you kill? And when inwardly you don't feel good about yourself in the first place. Self-esteem, self-respect are homegrown. That seed is planted really, really early in children. The idea that you can succeed, the idea that you're going to have disappointments, and you're going to have failures, and there will be obstacles that you will have to surmount. When parents fail to do this, regardless of ethnicity, children fail. With black children, the failure rate is much higher, because blacks are into this materialistic thing. If I get you the clothes, and I get put you in the house, and I give you the appearance of being well off and materially secure, then you ought to act that way. But internally, children are just are far more shallow than we were coming up. We had far less materially. So you don't, it would be unheard of for children to have $90 sneakers and $150 jackets, yet they can't read. Many of them can't count to 150. And if they can count, they can't multiply. And if they can multiply, they can't divide. So it's self-defeating. The idea that this is a capitalist society and that dog eat dog has encompassed black people. And not only if the dog is white, he is savagely attacked. But what the hell? Black is also savagely attacked. And sometimes the black is more savagely attacked than a black would do a white. That may be hard for you to understand, but it does exist. I have noticed in our school that if two blacks fight, they try to kill each other. Not so when the black and the white fights. So I think it's embedded, and it's come up. I'm sure it's not genetic. And then who's to say?
You feel like the situation is out of control or could be helped?
I don't think anything is out of control that was let out of control. I think that no controls are placed on the uncontrolled.
Yeah.
I think that we don't need more prisons. I don't think we need any more rehabilitation centers. I think that what we are going to have to do is realize that with the drug problem we've had, and with the AIDS epidemic, and with the fact that children are recipients of an uncaring system in America, where people are allowed to have children that cannot afford to take care of them. But the white intelligentsia has decided that welfare synonymous to a college degree that food stamps are the same as a paycheck for black and poor whites. What would you think would be the results of this? You don't do wrong when you're not taught it's wrong. My daddy hated welfare. My brothers and sisters hated welfare. But there are people that I know right here who feel as though the country, quote, owes them.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's nothing wrong with it at all. And cheats the government in every way it can. One guy asked me, who happened to be a vice president of a bank, and that dealt with me for years. He sat down one day and he said, Ernestine, we were on first name basis. Why is it that black women have children just to get a larger welfare check? And I knew when he asked the question that he actually felt as though this was true. In his lifetime, he thought, there were two statements he made. That was the first one. The second one he made was, why black men don't take care of their children.